Welcome, everybody, to a Force Awakens edition of RP Grinders. I'm your host this week, Frank Brandt.
Suggest your innuendo.
Yeah, there you go. Alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, the Frosty One himself is on assignment this week. Gentlemen, how are you?
Sick.
That sounds like shit, dude. That's horrible. That's terrible. It was just terrible. That's just terrible. Break, I'm sorry, dude. Your voice sounds like shit today. Look, we got the American Dream Dusty Rhodes in chat, and that's what you come up with, Break? I mean, come on, man. What's going on there, dude? Are you still sick?
It's Ebola, man. I don't think you can cure it.
We have lots to talk about. It's going to be a spoilerific show today, so we'll make sure put disclaimers before we talk about Force Awakens. I know all three of us had a shot to watch the movie either last night or today. So we're going to spoil the fuck out of it. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Don't listen to the show until like next week or something.
Yeah, don't just put it away.
Just call it the Christmas episode.
Yeah, no.
I'm doing it in advance because we probably won't be here on Christmas.
Yeah, we probably won't. I think we're going to take next couple of weeks off. Next Friday's Christmas, the week
next
after.
Next week's?
Yeah,
you're going to be gone New Year's Day.
I got shit to do on New Year's Day, man. Normal people sometimes have
that's weird because usually nothing goes on New Year's Day. It's all about Eve.
We'll see.
People getting drunk and shit.
We'll keep in contact, man, for sure.
Yeah, Eric has a point. New Year's Day is hangover day.
Yeah, that is kind of
everybody cute. Usually is just kind of sitting around their house.
Yeah, well, I think Brake's going to be hungover anyway, so you know what I'm saying? Brake, you still there?
I do that last night? God. Oh, my God.
If you're not hungover, man, you're drunk, man.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like we're joined by Freak 5 in chat, Dungeon
what
Buster.
What kind of alcohol does Blues drink, Break?
And MXT.
Alcohol.
I mean, American Dream Dusty Rhodes is in chat.
E-Can, so. The stuff that Capcom used to sell for a while.
All right.
The energy drink.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys, let's get into the news. Let's get that done and over with.
Do they still sell that?
I would imagine they probably do. Like, they never sold it over here, though. But
you can buy it on probably J-List or something.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get started with the news. Let's get that done and over with. We can talk a lot of Star Wars, of course. We're going to ruin it for everybody. So I don't know if Freak 5
We're going to run Christmas for you.
Yeah, we're going to ruin your Christmas for you as well. No show next week, just letting you guys know right
now. Or you
can
just watch the episode until we get to the spoiler section. Just skip it over entirely.
I guess. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that, but let's go ahead and start with the news first. Eric, get that out of the way.
Okay, first is a Kickstarter article. Well, it has to do with Kickstarter, but Project Phoenix Kickstarter, slated for 2015, has been pushed to 2018. Well, it probably was never going to come out this year, but 2018.
Yeah, come on, man. 2018, we're talking about a game coming out in 2018. Really?
This is why I don't buy Kickstarters with all-star cast, or in this case it would be developers, from, like C-tier employees of the development team of several high-profile games.
Yeah.
And then tout yourself as from the developers of, when in reality it's just people that we couldn't actually find, but we're going to sell ourselves as like something bigger than we actually are.
Yeah.
We'll sell our bodies.
You know, this is
what's going on?
This is the nature of Kickstarter. Sometimes things like this will happen, but it's still shitty when it does happen.
Yeah, Dungeon Buster says he's not happy about it either. This is the gamble that you take with Kickstarter. You know, I always talk shit about them, but there is an element of risk every time you back something on Kickstarter. You know, I mean, it's just It's what it is, you know. So, you know, I mean, I feel bad for people like Dungeon Buster and others that, that pledge to games that get pushed back like this. But, you know, it's the nature of the beast. I mean, the
majority... This is why when you make a Kickstarter, you have a, at least a definite plan.
Yeah.
Koji Igarashi with his Bloodstained Kickstarter said 2017, 2 years is more than enough time to get a game done. If you need a little bit more time like that with, like, Mighty Number 9, then fine. But waiting months on end until you find out it's going to come out, like, 2 years later from now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. They'd have to know, like, they're nowhere close to being finished.
Yeah.
They would have known that a long time ago for them to just wait till now to say it is kind of shitty.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I mean, I'm going to say something nice about Kickstarter, okay? And I hardly ever, like, I know. Yeah, the world's coming to an end.
He owns Kickstarter. He has to say good things about it every once in a while, remember?
Oh, shut right? up, Eric, you son of a bitch. No, honestly, like, most
of the... bullet doesn't kill me, that might.
Look, for the most part, things that are on Kickstarter get funded and get released. So that's the one good thing I will say about Kickstarter.
Like Star Citizen will eventually come out. Eventually.
Yeah, exactly. MXT asked us if we like the Lunar games. It's been a while since I played them, but I remember them being pretty good. So, yeah, I like them.
H.G. Bailey has a LP of it going on right now.
Yeah. You know what, Break? I'm going to skip you on the news, dude. It'll just be Eric and I on the news because...
Although, apparently, I read an article somewhere. I mean, I didn't put it in the news last week or the week before, whatever I heard it, because until Gung Ho actually says something, I'm remaining silent.
Yeah.
Lunar 1 and 2 have... Or, no, Lunar 1, at least the first Lunar, and Grandia apparently have Steam listings.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster said Phoenix had problems wrangling a coder for a while and other staffing issues. That was a red flag.
That should be like the first issue you tackle before you even make the Kickstarter.
And then Freak 5 put in a story about White Wolf, World of Darkness. We're going to be talking about that. I think that's the last story. But let's move on to the next story coming to us from Gamatsu. Bandai Namco trademarks Tales of Zestiria, the X, Tales of the Rays in Europe.
Fucking what?
Yeah, I don't know, dude. It's weird. Tales of the Rays, they don't know what that is. But I hate these stories as well because I also think they're kind of non-stories, like trademarking shit. Like, people trademark shit all the time. So
When Bandai Namco trademarks something related to Tales, it eventually becomes something.
Yeah, usually.
Even if it's not a game, it might be like a system within a game.
Yeah. MXT says, I wish H.C. Bailey would come on the show as a guest. That would be great. You know, the invitation's out there for H.C. Bailey. He's awesome.
I don't know if he listens to us.
I would guess he doesn't. We would probably have to reach out to him.
Well, I mean, Eric can do that. He follows that channel. And
why does Eric got to do all that work? Well, what about you, man?
Well, I can do it too.
Why are you volunteering Eric?
Because Eric usually takes care of that type of stuff. He sets up interviews. And
I don't always want to be the guy to go to, though.
Well, I can
do it. I want other people to pull their weight around here.
Yeah, Break,
you
man.
You Break, pull. Man. You suggested.
Wait, I didn't suggest it?
No, he didn't suggest it.
I just stood up for you, and you drove me.
Wait,
your response is to throw me under the bus. Thanks.
I love it. I love it.
I'm like, I'll defend you, Eric, and while I'm not looking, you push me right underneath the train. Like,
he pulled that rug right underneath you, man.
Let me finish, Break.
Yeah.
So you suggested the idea that I don't have to be the guy, so why don't you volunteer?
Hey, how about MXT do the work on that, man? Suggest that H.C. Bailey come on RP Grinders. If I look at a LP of his, I'll comment and ask him to join.
See, the thing is, I have no idea who this is.
Oh, H.C. Bailey's an awesome Let's Player on YouTube, man. He plays a lot of RPGs. He's really good. He's very fun. He just is a good LP.
He usually researches the heck out of a game by dwelling on game FAQs and looking at people's notes and planning some of his own.
MXT is exiled.
It's actually written a couple FAQs on there.
MXT is exiled. All right, so Bandai Namco has trademarked a couple more names.
It does say that Tales of Zestiria the X might be the name for the 20th anniversary Tales of TV anime.
Maybe. Whatever. All right, Eric, let's move on to the next story.
Next story is from Gamatsu, and it says Cloud Powered The Last Remnant, now available for iOS and Android in Japan. If I know anything about the cloud-based streaming games on these platforms, they're not worth your time because the game will run like shit.
Yeah, Last Remnant.
Remember the whole thing about the streaming, the 3DS version of Dragon Quest X that we talked about? It's probably similar.
Yeah. We've talked about Last Remnant on this show before. Mixed feelings. I think you don't like it, Eric. I think I'm...
Never said anything about that.
What was the game that... it wasn't Last Remnant. There was another
Infinite
one.
Infinite Undiscovery. Fuck that game.
Infinite Undiscovery. That's right. But they came out about the same time, if I remember correctly. I always get those two games mixed up. Freak 5's excited about the White Wolf news. Like I said, we'll get to that.
If you do going to play The Last Remnant, though, I highly suggest just playing the PC version because they fixed all the crap that was wrong with The Last Remnant.
Yeah. All right. That's kind of a non-story as well. Next story comes to us.
Yeah. It says you can get it for 2,000 yen.
Oh, there you go.
But I'm certain that I'm not entirely certain that it'll actually transfer over to the U.S. side. Even though it wouldn't be too terribly hard to transfer the Steam version to the iOS platform in some capacity. Mm. I mean, it is cloud-based, so they could just set something up that way.
Maybe. Look at that. Gripper's in chat. Welcome to chat, Gripper. Let's move on to the next story. Comes to us from Siliconera.
But I think the whole problem with Steam-based gaming is that you have to be online to play it. And if you drop your connection, you get booted from the game.
Yeah. All right, next story from Siliconera, Eric.
Next story is... Anthropomorphic character star new visual novel /minor.
Yeah. What is that? Like,
I have no idea what the hell you just said.
I did what? there's really not much. I mean,
you don't know what the word anthropomorphic means.
No, I was kidding. Like the whole sentence just was like, what?
It was just
a bad sentence.
Yeah, poorly written. Okay, read on.
It says, Major Minor is a new visual novel with anthropomorphic characters and a murderous mystery at its heart is now available on Steam. No, it's not fully finished, which means that it's quote-unquote episodic in the sense that you buy the game and then they'll put the other chapters in later.
You're paying for an unfinished game. I love it.
Yeah, that's pretty much how that visual novel... Beach Bounce was set up. I think the final chapter comes out, or is out already. At least it should have been by now. And I'm going to redo my review of that game. And I'm actually going to post it on another site, because I told the publisher I would do that, because they kind of didn't like the fact that I just posted it on my blog, because they want notoriety.
Oh, I guess. Whatever. They're being bitches. All right, man. So what else about this game, Major Minor? Anything else?
Hopefully they fixed all the typos in that fucking first chapter by now. But anyways, this is you're playing as one of the lucky two who won the opportunity to travel the world an international pop star with international pop star Klaus or Klaase, I don't know. Klaase,
I guess. I don't know. K-L-A-C.
Unfortunately, upon arriving in Tokyo, so it takes place in real world, but you're all animals, okay. and you get caught up in a conspiracy known as the Midnight Deaths.
All right. What is that?
So this game was made for – this is like for furries by furries game?
Yeah, exactly, man.
I'm sorry, the visual novel.
Well, I don't think there's any fur sex in it. It's just a furry game.
Yeah. Right, but they don't have to have sex in it for them to be excited.
Where's Tiger Claw when you need him?
Burr. I mean, Burr's in the furry stuff.
Yeah. Burr, Tiger Claw.
I don't have a problem with playing the furry stuff. I'm just, it's not a particular fetish I'm into like other people are. It's like I play something like this, but like I'm not into that.
I'm sorry, furries are my favorite target. I can't help it.
All right,
so fetishes is poking at the furries.
That's not the worst like thing. Like shat stuff like that, or crush porn, like that stuff's like absolutely terrible.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Hopefully, and another one I don't get is the ones that are into the baby fetish.
Oh God, gross.
Isn't that the whole point of Toddlers and Tiaras is about?
Oh God!
No. I mean, like dressing up as babies, wearing diapers. Not about kids. God. No, I wasn't talking about child molestation.
One of the games I have to review called Euphoria actually has that weird fetish in it, along with Scat.
Freak Five says, "Yeah, those."
I'm not looking forward to either of those sections.
Freak Five says, "Yeah, those are yippers, not furries." So there
I know they're yippers, but yippers. It's still part of a whole.
Wait, yeah. What's a yiffer? I don't understand.
Furry sex stuff.
Yeah, furry sex. I guess.
That's what it's referred to. I just thought it was like for. I just okay.
The name yiff come from? What's the etymology of yiff?
I have no idea.
Anyways, it says it has 22 characters interact with friendships and dating and multiple endings of like any visual novel. Mm-hmm. But only the first chapter is currently available, with the other 11 chapters.
Oh fuck.
To come each month until November 2016.
Yeah, Freak also says, I wonder if there are any Star Wars fans who hide that they are furries by dressing up.
Chapters probably only an hour each. Yeah. Or hour or two. They could be going the Higurashi route, where I think there's like 10 chapters in that game. There's five parts of the game. There's like 10 chapters or something in like each of them.
Hmm. Well, it doesn't sound like a fun experience to me, just waiting for each chapter like that, unless they set it up at the beginning to be that way. It just sounds like they have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I mean, Higurashi had the element of doing five big parts over the course of several years.
Yeah.
And each one of those was a finished product when it was released, because there are individual chapters within each game.
Yeah, you know what else is
kind of like that, but you're waiting like a month between for each chapter.
Yeah, you know what else is a finished product, guys? Romancing Saga 2. This comes to us from Gamatsu. Romancing Saga 2 coming to the PS Vita and smartphones. Square Enix is bringing in the 93 launch Romancing Saga 2 to the PS Vita, iOS, and Android. It will launch this winter. The new version features updated graphics, controls optimized for each platform, and the, quote, class and, quote, original dungeon additions from the mobile version. And then there's a gallery and whatnot. I don't ever remember playing Romancing Saga, and that's weird.
That's because it's not a U.S. game.
What about the first one?
That was a remake called Minstrel Song.
Ah, okay. I knew I played something Romancing Saga, but not this game, so whatever.
What did you say? The sequel is called Menstrual Cycle?
No, not sequel. Remake.
The remake.
Minstrel Saga.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I'm sorry.
Not Menstrual.
All right, Eric. What's the next story?
Next story is... Also, I hope is that this game comes to the U.S., and the only hope I have that because I saw a trademark filing for the new Vita Saga game called I forget what it was called actually. I can't remember, you know, but it's a thing.
Yeah.
But next one is from Gamatsu, and Legend of Heroes: Trails of Cold Steel, which comes out next week in the U.S. as a launch date of Europe, finally.
Yeah.
The launch date is January 29th, and you can get it both physically and digitally, so Europe didn't get screwed this time.
No, no, they actually got it.
And Xseed is publishing it, or no, they're not. NIS America is publishing it. It's weird, because, like, Marvelous supposedly publishes the games that they, that Xseed's parent company is Marvelous, and they supposedly publish games like Senran Kagura themselves in Europe. So I don't know why they didn't do that here. Maybe they're too busy with other projects.
Yeah. Gripper says whoopee in there.
So. Well, by the way, I wanted to say good name. Like, that's a fucking really good name. I like that.
Trails of Cold Steel. Yeah, I do like that. That's actually a cool.
It's called Sen, and Sen directly translates to like an idea like Flash of the Blades, and well, you can't directly translate that in English, otherwise it would sound weird. Yeah. So they called it Cold Steel.
And Dungeon Buster says the collector's edition isn't insanely priced either, so that's cool too.
They call it the collector's edition because I guess it's like the special first print version, and I guess after a certain period of time passes, they'll just have the standard version. Yeah. But you can't even get a standard version yet.
Yeah. Well, to follow that story up, this comes to us also from Gamatsu. Production is underway on The Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel 3. So there's that. The first entry is due out Tuesday. We just discussed that. December 22nd, in Europe, January 29th. Cold Steel 2 is due out in Western Territory sometime next year. So we got a lot of goodness.
I think Cold Steel 2 is coming out in, like, February.
Well, I like that. That's cool. It's something to look forward to, for sure. All right, Eric.
I remember it saying, like, early 2016, and that's probably first quarter.
Yeah. All right, Eric, what's up on the next story?
The next story is Digimon World Next Order finally has a release date in Japan. It's March 17th, 2016. And says pricing is set at 7,344 yen. We still haven't gotten Cyber Sleuth, but if Cyber Sleuth does well, then Bandai Namco will hopefully bring this over too.
Yeah. What does 7,344 yen translate to, Eric? Do you know?
That's like roughly $75, I think.
Ooh-wee. That's expensive, man. Is that where we're going with games, $75?
No, it's just Japan has a lot of inflation.
Yeah. All right. Next story. This is another good one. Ease 8 launches summer 2016 in Japan. It looks beautiful from what I've seen. Lacrimosa of Dana, first announced for PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita at Sony Computer Entertainment Japan's pre-Tokyo Game Show 2014 press conference will launch in Japan during the summer of 2016, Falcom announced during a general meeting of stockholders today. The game is set on, quote, Sirens Island, an archipelago of South Korea in the Geth Sea. Jesus, say that five times fast. Players can use free dash and jump actions in
a variety. You can't say archipelago, right?
I said archipelago. That's what I said.
I think you said Pelagio.
No, I said an archipelago. That's what I said. Players can use free dash and jump actions in a variety of attack skills.
You still said it wrong.
And the game features automatic mapping, a drifting village based on or base you can develop by gathering castaways. Quote, counterattack battles, where you can defend the residential area with castaways other than Adol, and a number of new elements. So they have a really nice gallery of screenshots of the game, and it looks really good.
Seeing a lot – what I've seen some people online describe it from the pictures that they've seen and the footage that I saw as a type of Xenoblade type of experience, because like – there's a picture here where they're all fighting a dragon is just much bigger than they are. I mean, that's not uncommon with East, but given the perspective of the game, looks like it has that feel. Because it doesn't, it's not top down like the other East games, or at least from the images, it doesn't appear that way.
Freak 5 is exiled. He said he put some money on his PayPal to send Mug money to play harmonica every week, but he never gave him his info. So there's that, Freak. You're exiled. All right, man. Next story, Eric.
Apparently, this game is going to have tower defense like segments to it. But the next article is the last article, I think. Yeah, Tales of Series has reached worldwide shipments that top 16 million.
That's good. That's awesome.
The series began in 1995 with the launch of Tales of Phantasia for the Super Famicom. And there's been 17 main entries, and the next Tales of Berseria is slated to launch for PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3 in Japan next year. I kind of wish they just... I know the PS3 does well in Japan, so that's why they're still doing it, but I kind of like to see what a Tales game would look like if it were developed for entirely for a single piece of hardware. I think it's being held back by the fact that they have to that they have to make it, the game look...
Yeah,
at a point or design at a point where they can easily downport it without too much trouble to another platform.
Yeah,
sorry, I didn't get to the mute button in time.
That's all good, man.
I mean, Tales of Zestiria on PS4 and Steam looks good, but it could have looked a lot better if they had developed the engine entirely for the PS4 and then ported it to the PC from there. But yeah, but it, they couldn't because it was also for the PS3.
Oh, this announcement came off the same announcement that they are coming out with a Tales of themed pachinko machine. So there you go, Japan. Definitely wacky for sure. But that's cool. I like to see that they've done well. Hopefully they keep bringing out those Tales games. Most of them are hits, I think. I mean, I know there's a dud or two in there in between, but... I've had a fun time with the Tales series for sure. So there is one more story, Eric. I'm going to go ahead and read it because...
I guess my article didn't load it up right.
Freak 5 mentioned White Wolf, but this is straight from The Escapist. New White Wolf announces plans for World of Darkness games, movies, and TV shows. Creative Forces, now in charge of venerated role-playing franchise, beginning to chart new course. White Wolf Publishing has provided new information on the world of on the future of the World of Darkness, speaking in a presentation and QA session at Tenebrae Noctis, a World of Darkness fan event held last weekend in Germany. CEO Tobias Sjoren, I don't even know how to pronounce his name, and lead storyteller Martin Eriksson of the newly reborn White Wolf, following its acquisition in late October by Paradox.
Did you just say Wolf again?
Yes. Discuss the current state of the company and some of their grand plans going forward.
He kind of trailed off there. I think that was intentional.
I think so, man. As previously mentioned in our interview with Sjoren, or Sjogren, however you pronounce his name, White Wolf will be licensing the properties within World of Darkness to creative partners in a broad range of media, including those traditionally associated with the brand, such as pen and paper role-playing products and video games, while developing a single meta plot to run through and bring together all products under the banner. Eriksson revealed that this plot will specifically tell modern stories set in the 21st century on a global scale, saying that the focus will, quote, gradually shift from the United States to Europe, Russia, and the Middle East. So it's a long article. There's they basically give you the whole video there. I think this is exciting news. I'm a big fan of the World of Darkness. They trailed off for many years until now they just got picked up by Paradox. I love the White Wolf pen and paper games, and I always wondered why they didn't make movies based on the material, because it's awesome. Like, there's so much rich history in that series. It's just to me, it kind of at the time it reminded me of like a modern day take on Dungeons and Dragons with awesome like monsters like werewolves and ghosts and mummies and vampires and all that shit.
So, it says down here, it says one likely project is a sequel to the 2004 video game Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And it says Hunter the Reckoning was also mentioned as a possible sequel candidate.
Yeah, that's really cool. And Dungeon Buster, speaking of, says if this means Bloodlines could get a proper sequel, he's excited. I'm super excited for this because I've always wanted movies, TV shows, etc. based on the World of Darkness. They have – and you know, this was a multi-universe before Marvel did their thing, right? I mean, there was book after book. I think it was Wraith. It was Werewolf. Vampire the Masquerade, and they all kind of intermingled, and it was just awesome to go from one world to the other and be able to translate those back and forth. It's just a really nice role-playing game system. I liked it. And I think, and Freak Fight says they had a vampire TV show, but it was not a hit. It was just a bad production. I remember that, Freak Five. It was terrible. But I think in the proper
hands, most shows aren't hit. It's hard to get a show on, make a show hit, even good shows.
Well, fail. even hits or shows that are awesome, like what was it? Firefly didn't survive. You know what I mean? But and you're right.
Yeah, Legend of the Seeker. That's another good one.
Didn't
survive because it just didn't have a like good show in times. Like it'd be on Saturday at 2 o'clock or some bullshit.
Yeah. Some nonsense. You know. But I think this is a good thing. I think I hope Paradox can take White Wolf into the next century and really do good things with their property, because I mean it's just rich in lore and history, and I don't know, it lends well. I mean I saw the trailer for Warcraft, and if they can make a movie that looks that good out of a game that's, you know, pretty sparkly and cartoony, I mean, I think they can do a good job with the World of Darkness game. So, you know, Dungeon Buster says the MMO materials leaked from CCP when the project was killed looked encouraging. So there you go. So there's that. I'm excited. Freak 5 is excited. I think a lot of people are excited. I just hope they do it the right way. I don't think either of you guys played
it. No, they'll make a first-person shooter that's multiplayer only and sell it on the Xbox One. That's what they do.
Well,
no, I think lessons were learned from Shadowrun. I think a lot of lessons were learned from Shadowrun. Because honestly, I haven't seen anybody try to do something that bad since Shadowrun, you know?
Yeah.
Like try and make an RPG into a shooter.
Yeah. What was that?
But there have been RPGs turned into shooters that have been actually decent games, like
Star Wars,
Warhammer, Space Marine comes to mind.
You know what I think is a bad RPG that got turned into a shooter?
Which one?
Mass Effect.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Let's see. No, so this is encouraging news. I hope that they do the right thing. I hope they have a bunch of successes.
You know? I'm not even saying that Mass Effect 2 and 3 were bad. It's just they're not what I wanted.
Dungeon Buster says, oh, please, not another Shadowrun by Microsoft. Yeah, for sure. What was that? It wasn't a shooter. It was the Star Wars game. Knights of the Old Republic was pretty awesome. It was like a turn-based type game that was pretty cool.
You know what I wish Mass Effect had turned out like? I wish it were something like Xenoblade Chronicles X. I think that's the game that Mass Effect should have been.
Yeah. All right. Are there any homie discs?
Hey, guys, I like Mass Effect.
Yeah, I know. The latter Mass Effect games weren't terrible, especially the last one. They were just
average because the third person shooter, like every other third person shooter, even right down to the enemy typings, you got brutes and shit.
Yeah,
it was just pedestrian, and I felt that was a big disservice to something that had so much potential.
Yeah, KOTOR Dungeon Buster. That's what I was thinking of. That was a good game.
That's why we'll never appreciate Mass Effect the way some people do.
Yeah, I guess, man. All right, any homie discounts, Eric?
Homie discounts. I didn't see any. I think the PSN sale is still going on, though, and there's stuff on the eShop you can get on cheap.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Breakman, any tweets?
Squinix has their games are now half price on the Google Play Store. I know Warner Brothers has their games also on sale right now. I think some of them are just a dollar. And I know Xbox One is going to be starting their big holiday sale on December 22nd. They promised this will be bigger and better than ever, but you know how promises go with like that. But still, they usually have some good sales.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
All I can say is I hope Mass Effect Andromeda takes the blessings from Xenoblade Chronicles X.
There you go. All right, any Twitter questions, Break?
Yes.
You sound disappointed. Do I have to read them? Do you have to what?
Do I read them?
Yeah, read them.
Fine.
This is your
Freak
campus.
5 Chaos says, would you rather perform your answer to my would you rathers or have Trump as president?
Oh, my God.
Like, what the fuck, man? Like, seriously, I told you I didn't want to read it, but no, you made me, so. I guess Trump's president, because there's no way I'm going to do half the there's no way I'd do 99% of anything you've suggested, freak.
You can make sure he has a short term, just make him president instead.
Hmm. Yeah, like, let's do term limits of 6 months for the president. Oh, man, that might be enough time for him to ruin everything for sure. All right, anything else, Break?
No, wasn't that enough? I mean, fuck. Aren't our asses bleeding enough? I mean, yeah, Jesus. Exactly.
All right, Break, what have you been playing, man? The usual?
Halo. Yeah, the usual. Record Keeper Final Fantasy, which is they've actually done some major updates to it, mostly just like visual stuff, kind of added like generic maps to it. I was fine with the game just being menus, but they did have some like user interface improvements, which are pretty good. Let me see. Halo 5 also got a big update. They added new levels, which is awesome. Not just like a new map, but like new Warzone type map, which is not just multiplayer versus, is also enemies. Also been playing Killer Instinct, and that game hurts my wrists like every freaking time. Like, I seriously need a joystick to play that game.
Yeah, dude.
An arcade stick, because it's like killing me.
Yeah.
It's a fun game, but it's fucking killing me.
Yeah. Did you get your ass beat by Wyland yet, or no?
Not yet. No, I haven't seen him online. He's been waiting to do it. I know, it's coming.
From Wyland's perspective, it's you've been avoiding him, probably.
Five guests in chat says Break would get Trump elected, assassinate him, and spend the rest of his life in prison just to avoid doing my would you rathers.
Something usually, much right. Well, because you live in Ohio, you wouldn't get the death penalty for that, would you?
No,
I don't think the death penalty anymore.
I would have to be a prison bitch because there's no way else I would survive in prison.
You would be taken off to Guantanamo Bay, man. That's what would happen. All right, Eric, what have you been playing, man?
I played a little bit more Code Realize. Got code for Summon Night 5, and I played a little bit of that today and yesterday. Hmm. I haven't gotten really far into it because I only just got the code on Tuesday, but there was apparently something wrong with PSN, and I couldn't redeem it until Wednesday.
Hmm, that sucks.
But played a little bit of Earth Defense 4 1.1, and got a little bit more into Legend of Heroes Trails of Sky SC. I'm still only on Chapter 3. There's like 10 chapters in the game. I got code for Cold Steel, but I can't play it yet because I need to get through all this in order to fully appreciate it.
Hmm.
So it's going to be a while for that. Plus, the Vita version isn't here because the game's not out yet. Hmm. And I want to be able to compare the two formats. But I also finished Telltale's Game of Thrones.
Oh, nice.
I was going to write the review for it to have on Boston Masquerade, but stuff happened this week and I couldn't get to it. Mm-hmm. But hopefully it'll be up on Monday and going to write it tomorrow morning or sometime tomorrow. But I also played Sound of Drop, which I played most of and completed which on Wednesday, which is why I was really freaking tired yesterday. And that's why I didn't get the right to Game of Thrones review. Mm-hmm. Because I spent I must have spent like 4 hours playing it for the first time a week ago. And I probably spent the remaining 5 hours trying to get it done.
Yeah.
I really burned the midnight oil there. Went to bed at like 1.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Anything else?
It's a fun visual novel. You should check it out. The review will be up on somewhere, like probably Boston Bastard Brigade.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Eric?
No. Yeah. I can't say that the Game of Thrones isn't that interesting of a game.
Yeah. Wow, that's disappointing. I thought that would be awesome.
It's not bad. It's entertaining. It's just it could have been a lot better. But I think they squandered the opportunity to make a decent narrative because one, they knew they were going to do a follow-up, so they didn't try their hardest to make the story definitive or even interesting because they'll just continue in the next season. Yeah. But the other problem is there's so many concurrently operating storylines that are independent of each other, unlike Tales from the Borderlands, where you'll play as two different characters, but they're relatively in the same area when they're around, and they're doing two different things, but they're working towards the same goal. And in this game, and that game has a payoff, though. And this game doesn't really have a payoff for that.
No.
In fact, a lot of the decisions you make, even more so than previous Telltale games, really don't matter in the end.
Yeah. Well, they don't. That's pretty much. I mean, even with the Walking Dead games, which are awesome, it doesn't much matter.
Yeah, your choices don't matter in that game, but at least in The Wolf Among Us, you could go to different places and have different experiences there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you get to experience different content at least, but and it'd be content that might be worthwhile. But in Tales from the Borderlands, your decisions ultimately just affect who ends up living at the end of the story so that you can use them to recruit them for your team to complete the finale of the game. And that's actually interesting. Mm-hmm. But in this game, they really don't matter at all, period.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's – I mean, you know, it's really hard to create a game like that where they're really
– In fact, one of the characters' perspectives – their storyline might as well not even be the game because ultimately they didn't even contribute that much to the story. Yeah. Like they're also helping this one house of the game survive an invasion of another house and prevent them from all dying. But, their contribution is supposed because you don't get to see the proof of this.
Yeah. Well, that's for the next chapter, for sure.
No, because of how the game's story went, it was supposed to prevent the army from coming at the end of the game, but they end up getting slaughtered anyway, so it was meaningless.
Mm. All right, well, let's move on, man. I've been playing a little more Yoshi's World and, of course, Marvel Puzzle Quest. Nothing new to report. Yoshi's Woolly World is awesome. And I think it's a great game. It's a good diversion from the norm. But all right, let's move on to Stinkos. Breakman, you have a really interesting one
this week. Yeah, my Stinko. I went on a rant on Twitter, and there was a certain person on Twitter who. I don't know. The only time he ever talks to me is when he has something negative to say, but I'm not going to – I don't want to, blast him or anything. But anyways, he said something to me, and I just fucking went off a little bit. I only went off on a few of my points, too. I could have kept going, but, he just, stopped talking to me, you know, just, being a troll under my bridge, basically, just, started and running away. So – my stink out goes to Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And Pete Rose, basically, this week, Roger Manfred, the new new MLB commissioner, said that Pete Rose will not be allowed back in baseball. When he said that, the Hall of Fame, which is supposed to be separate from baseball, but you know, it's just like Bud Selig's gone, but really he's not, because he was friends with Rob Manfred. So, it didn't much change, you know. But anyway, he could be in the Hall of Fame besides this, but you know, if the MLB says no, they're gonna say no too. Was suspended back in 1989, I believe, from baseball. Like, he was permanently banned from baseball from the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. That was that's more than 25 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was banned from the game for betting on baseball, which is a capital offense in baseball, you know, because of what happened back in, I think, the 20s with the World Series. It was rigged by some players betting on the sport. And he broke that and he bet. That was 25 years ago, and the man has never gotten a second chance. And again, he's not getting a second chance. He is in his mid-70s.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to live to see another commissioner maybe give him a second chance, because Rob Manfred's probably going to be in the job for like 15, 20 years or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I go back and forth on Pete Rose, man.
Let me keep going. Yeah. Pete Rose specifically, he bet on baseball. And he continues to bet today, which is why Rob Manfred said, you know, you're still betting, like you haven't turned your life around. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yes, Pete Rose has an addiction problem. Isn't that a sickness?
I agree.
Shouldn't that be treated? Yeah. Like, why is he getting a lifetime ban without a second chance for an illness?
You know,
when they have players now with addiction problems, mm-hmm. doing drugs. There were players who changed the game irreparably by cheating and using steroids.
And back in the game.
Yeah. And they are back in the game coaching, most of them now. Like, what was their punishment for changing the game, breaking records, which, by the way, none of them could break Pete Rose's record. He did not cheat to get his record.
Right. No, there's no question about that. And you make a very valid point, Brake. I don't think he's addicted, by the way. I
think if he's still recreationally betting, even though, like, he knows if he'd stop betting, like, that would be something that would change their Major League Baseball's opinion. Mm-hmm. But, he's recreationally betting. He's not affecting the game in any way.
Well, this is my thing.
When he bet on baseball, he wasn't affecting the game in any way either.
The minute that baseball banned him, right, that's the minute that he could do whatever the fuck he wants, right? Like, he could go bet on games. Like, he doesn't have anything to do with baseball. So I totally disagree. Like, if Manfred would have said, you know, we'll let you back in, but you cannot bet. The minute that we find you betting, then you will be banned for good, period.
My personal thought was, what Major League Baseball should have said is, Pete, we're going to let you back in, but we want you to go and get this taken care of. We want you to go into rehab for your addiction.
Yeah.
But we want you back in the sport. You were good for the sport. Like, and he is. He's a great ambassador for the sport.
Yeah, he's still.
If great you've seen ambassador. Him, like, he loves baseball still. He talks about it. You know, he's willing to do radio interviews about anything. Like, he's, he's upfront about stuff like that. But he did lie about the betting for a long time.
He did. I mean, he perpetuated a lie for a very long time.
There's no doubt about that.
I do think that once a person, like, admits their mistakes and is open and honest, like, that's the road to healing. And I agree with you. Major League Baseball is not helping Pete Rose out at all. And the game owes Pete Rose a lot, man. Like, he was a pioneer for sure. And I agree with you, man. Nobody's going to beat that record. I thought Tony Gwynn would have a chance because he was awesome. Mm-hmm. But he didn't even even come close, man. And once Gwynn retired, I was like, nobody's gonna break that record, man. Nobody.
There was only one guy who was actually close, Ichiro, because he would have been actually close if you'd counted his Japanese numbers too.
Yeah, yeah.
But he obviously can't. But he still wouldn't have broken the record.
No.
It's a crazy record, but it's crazy that like those cheaters, they broke so many records.
Yeah.
One records they couldn't break can't be in the Hall of Fame.
That's another guy that really played the game the right way was Ichiro. You know, he's still playing, yeah. I think he's going for one more year, but you're right, man. Like, there's those type of people that play the game the right way are hard to find nowadays. You got McGuire, who's back in the game. You got
Bonds is coaching again.
Bonds.
And like when you talk about steroids, like you go to like Bonds and McGuire first, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Guy who broke the home run records.
Yep. I mean, that's a person that you really can't put in the Hall of Fame ever, you know, because he cheated. You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, they're probably not going to get in the Hall of Fame because they're so unliked. I mean, I imagine, though, in maybe 20 or 30 years, maybe they will get that second chance.
Maybe.
They probably will get in. But
it seems
like they're going to wait until Pete Rose is dead. Like, they want him. This is a lifetime ban, and you're punished for life.
If I was a voter, I wouldn't vote. I would vote for Pete Rose. I think he's did his time to get into the Hall of Fame. But I would never vote for Bonds or McGuire or Sosa or any of those guys. Who's the other one that lied in Congress? And I don't understand why he's not in jail.
The pitcher, right? What's his name?
Clemens for sure. Who was the other guy? He played for Baltimore. He was really good, but obviously. And he just,
what is his name?
I can't remember his name, but I
he
would
was
never.
The one they were almost thinking about giving him perjury too.
Yeah, and he should have. He should be in jail right now. But whatever. Is that it?
Peralta.
Damn it! What was his name? He played.
Yeah, it starts with a P, I think, doesn't it?
Baltimore Orioles, man. He was really. I mean, he was such a good
player. I don't know. I can't think of it. I'm sorry.
I can't remember his name. It's all good, man. We'll figure that out later. Is that it on Pete Rose break?
Yeah, I mean, I do have a lot of more arguments as to why he should be in the Hall of Fame. Like, or why he should get a chance to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying, like, he's going to get in because, you know, these voters – the voters are the voters, you know.
There's a lot
of old fogies who are set in their ways.
Yeah. Betting on the games didn't affect Pete Rose's ability to hit a baseball. So that's the argument that I would always use. I don't understand why they won't let him in the Hall of Fame. You ban him from baseball, but not the Hall of Fame. He deserves to be in there for sure. No question.
Well, I think, like, it's just like, lift your ban as far as baseball. And like I said, tell him, like, you need to get help. Like, because I think, like, he spends all of his time in Vegas, really. Like, mm-hmm. he has not tried to stop gambling. Obviously, for him, it's an addiction. He can't do it. Mm-hmm. He needs help. And somebody who needs help shouldn't be, like, continually punished. Isn't that, like, what we're arguing with about prison before?
Absolutely, Brake, man. That's a great point, man, for sure. No question about it, man. You very valid point indeed, for sure.
So anyways, let's move on because I know we wanted to get to other stuff.
No, it's all good, man. I like having these little baseball chats or
by the way, that what I talked about for Pete Rose, like I said, that jackass Dodd, like he had to speak up about it, but anyways, like, you haven't heard anything else about that supposed like molestation, like accusations and shit, because you know, like, because he knows for a fact Pete Rose will sue the fuck out of him because it's a lie, so you know.
Of course. Like I said, mean, I thought – I smelled that bullshit out at the beginning. Yeah. Man.
That Dodd guy's a scumbag.
Yeah,
but
he
whatever.
Really is.
Anyway, so that's it.
Yeah. All right, Eric, your stinko of the week.
My stinko. The Pope was, of course, canonized Mother Teresa.
Ugh, God, dude. Why?
Because we'd rather canonize someone who's actually pretty much committed crimes against humanity and is not a moral paragon. Just because we need PR magic to make ourselves look good.
Well, that's
because we've already created a fiction about this person in the beginning, so let's maintain it.
Yeah.
You know, every time I think of Mother Teresa, you guys ever see Naked Gun 33 and a third?
Yes, man.
There's a movie about Mother Teresa in it, and like she's singing and dancing, like taking like a yeah.
This is following like the canonization of that one guy who went to, I think how the colonists went to, I think it was Puerto Rico. Hmm. And basically, along with the conquistadors, slaughtered everybody. But yay, because you know that's the best thing to do.
Mother Teresa
and the people that went to help, and also
Catholicism is a death cult. That's all I have to say.
Went to help and like the people that went to like convert them to Catholicism gave them diseases too. So like they killed them too.
Yeah, they killed them multiple ways, man. Either by hand or by virus, for sure. And Mother Teresa is not a saint. She's one of the worst people ever, man.
Some of the other saints that have been canonized in the past haven't had crystally clean backgrounds either.
Everything you need to know about Mother
Teresa. Nobody has,
because they are not perfect people by any means, and they're not worthy of moral exemplar.
Hmm. What were you saying, Brake?
There's a lot of people who – I mean most people have like – especially if you look like history and stuff like that. Like a lot of presidents, you know, they weren't like necessarily good people, but I don't think we should discredit them.
Yeah, but these people
– No, I'm not
saying – genuine problems.
No, I'm
they're the last people that you'd want to posit as like an example of moral behavior.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just saying like we shouldn't and I'm not saying in this case like I agree with you, but I'm just saying like we shouldn't discredit the past.
Well, I agree with that for the most part, Breakman,
but not with this. I'm saying with like for instance, like people are trying to get like a something that's named after one of the presidents. They're trying to get that changed because of the president's past. Well, that'd be like all the presidents if you look at them. Like seriously, like there's slave owners, racists, bigots of all kinds.
Yeah. No question, man. I mean, nobody's perfect. Shit,
because times were different back then. Yeah. Like bigotry in like the 1900s was common.
Yeah.
Like most everybody was a bigot. Mm. So it's hard to say like that some people weren't like like most everybody at some sort.
I mean, I don't even care about the canonization part. It's who they're canonizing that bothers me.
Yeah, that's the problem I got with.
Because canonization is bullshit anyway. I mean, it's all religious nonsense.
I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to hack your thing because really what I'm saying is
different. Especially the weirdness with the way people, Catholics, apparently pray to these saints. Like they are,
it's really weird.
Like they're demigods or something.
It's funny because, I mean, we talk about Mother
Teresa. It's almost idolatry.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's actually against the Catholic religion to pray to saints, but that's an argument for another day. Mother Teresa was just not nice in any shape, form, or fashion. And everything you need to know about
it's
Mother Teresa
– It's as if God's running an institution and then you have to go to the middleman called the saint because he's too busy.
Eric, let me finish. I know.
Yeah, could you pass this note on to God for me? Yeah, thanks.
Exactly. Everything you need to know about Mother Teresa, Christopher.
Yeah,
Hitchin.
Exactly. Dungeon Buster says Andrew Jackson was a total scum when it came to Native Americans, but he was our president. You know, we need to remember that. So, like, we shouldn't take his face off of things because he was our president. We need to remember that.
I actually think that presidents shouldn't be on the faces of money, but that's a different discussion for a different day. For the same reasons that you
brought up. Put Illuminati everything on the dollar.
put nothing. How about that? Put states. That would be better.
Because you have to think, like, even though they're like these guys did bad things, like Andrew Jackson did terrible things, like with Native Americans, but he did good things.
I don't know if you'd want to put states on there because isn't one of the states emblems the actual Confederate flag?
Yeah, South Carolina, but not anymore. They just.
What is it now? Like, do they have a new one?
They have a design that does not include the Confederate flag. But but anyways, to finish my point,
I guess my point is just yeah, all these people did terrible things, but let's not forget the good they did too.
Yeah, well,
or the important, or the important things they did if they weren't good.
I understand that.
If we're talking about like Nixon, for instance.
Oh God, Nixon, Jesus Christ. No, seriously, to finish up this Mother Teresa quick discussion here, everything you need to know about Mother Teresa, Christopher Hitchens did a wonderful, way more eloquent job of discrediting that piece of shit than we could ever do.
And if you still need actual proof beyond his investigations, go look at the academics at Montreal University.
Yeah. Mother Teresa
they'll corroborate with his evidence.
Yeah, that she was just not a good person at all, and she's revered for whatever reason. But moving on to my stinko, I'm not going to talk about it right now. I'll wait till we get into the Star Wars talk later. But it does involve a character in Star Wars, so let's just put it that I want Freak Five to stick around for a little while longer. So, all right, moving on to our sweetos. Speaking of Star Wars, Force Awakens was pretty awesome for the most part, in my opinion. But again, we'll talk about that later. Break, what is your sweeto?
My sweeto goes to the awesome fall weather we've had. Like, this has been the best fall I could ever remember. Like, honestly, today is the first day I saw snow. Like, usually by now we've had snow and ice and other shit, but it has been amazing. It's been basically like a second spring. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's always good. What about you, Eric?
About what? Sorry.
Your sweeto. Sweeto of the week.
Oh, yeah. Sweeto. I don't really have any this week.
Did you do your Vegas trip? Did you talk about
that? Yeah, that's old. Yeah. I need to get it.
All right. Well, awesome, man.
Dude, Vegas is awesome enough that it can be like multiple weeks. I understand, man.
No, I love Vegas. I forgot to update it by removing it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth multiple discussions for sure. Break. I love Vegas. Now, I think next year I'm gonna go to Vegas again, man. It's awesome. All right, we got some reviews. We're going to start with Eric's review of Creed, and then Freak 5 and everybody in chat and everybody listening on the archives. I'll give you the spoiler alert warning for Star Wars because we will be spoiling Star Wars. There's no other way to do it. Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah, so we will be talking about that a little bit later. All right, Eric, you have a review for Creed. Let's hear it.
Creed is
the band Creed.
Not finest. It's the seventh Rocky movie, although it's technically it's not about Rocky, which is why it's called Creed. Mm-hmm. Although I think the other reason is copyright.
No. They could have put the Rocky moniker.
Well, Rocky Balboa was done by Sony, and this one's
he's done seven Rocky movies, but I can't get a.
Let me finish, dude.
Go ahead.
Thanks
Eric.
For interrupting me.
Well, you've been interrupting the whole show.
Creed was done by Warner Brothers.
Okay.
But anyways, it starts off with us showing Creed as a boy. He's in juvenile hall because he gets into fights all the time. He's got anger problems. Mostly has to do with his dad and his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because we find out in the film that he's actually the illegitimate son of Creed. Somebody he had an affair with while he was still married, apparently, to his wife. And anyways, for whatever reason, despite this, she ends up picking him out of juvie and decides to raise him because he doesn't have a family anymore.
Yeah.
I guess it was some weird love commitment to take care of the prodigy of her husband. Yeah. They never really explained why she did it, but whatever. I will say that it's almost a remake of the original Rocky movie because it's about someone who, despite the fact that he grew up and lived the opposite life of Rocky where he was taken care of because Apollo made a lot of money and his wife has lived on that, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I guess she also has a decent job, so that helps too. But and I think he despite having a good job, he didn't want to work it because there was, like, I guess, a nagging within his quote unquote soul that he just wanted to fight because he had too much of Apollo in him. And but he didn't want to live in his father's shadow, so he wanted to make it on his own as a person who didn't inherit his name. And so he decides to go to Philly and looks for Rocky, asks him to train him, and Rocky obviously was a little bit reluctant, but he eventually does. And he eventually fights the current heavyweight champion. The interesting thing about Creed, though, is his name's Adonis, which is kind of funny because, like, there's a whole Greek thing going there. But Adonis himself isn't exactly a heavyweight. He's kind of like a heavy midweight or fighter. And so it's a midweight fighter fighting a heavyweight fighter. But the guy he's fighting is actually Irish, which is interesting.
So what are you giving Creed, man? We'll have a little quick discussion.
It had really good pacing, and the only time I looked at the clock, and the only reason I looked at the clock is just to see how late it was, not because I was getting bored and going, oh, man, this movie's long. But it's 2 hours and 12 minutes that the movie lasts. Goes by really quickly, so I really like that. And the fight sequences were good, and they had a mixture of contemporary street and R&B music and the classical music that you hear during the matches from the previous Rocky films. I think they did it a little remixing there. I couldn't tell if they were like just reusing some of the tracks or if they were remixing some of them and just remastering them.
Yeah. I thought it was a great, great way to bring Rocky forward, like a new kind of franchise. I really enjoyed Creed. Dungeon Buster says,
I think it was amusing that Rocky in many ways became the new Mickey.
Yeah, I saw that, and it was awesome. I thought that
and he even finds a girlfriend, which is kind of like Adrian.
Yeah.
They didn't have any Polly character, which is interesting.
No, which is fine. This was a different Rocky. You know what I mean? It was updated and contemporary. Dungeon Buster says it was.
Anyways, his character eventually ends up having a style that's similar to Rocky's, but he has the strength of Apollo. When he punches someone, he really hurts them really bad.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says it wasn't explained very well in the movie, but apparently the ex-wife had been trying to track him down for a while. I got that impression, Dungeon Buster. They didn't really. I think maybe if we had a director's cut, they would explain that a little bit better.
Yeah.
He also says, I like the pacing too. It really didn't feel like you were just sitting there. I thought it was a rousing, great movie. And I
actually will excuse this movie for being pretty much a remake of the original Rocky because there's only so many ways you can do a boxing movie anyway.
I thought Sylvester Stallone was awesome in this movie, and Dungeon Buster also agrees. He saw Rocky as the new Mickey, which was really good. The parallel.
Although there. I think Stallone was playing up the fact that he was an old boxer who got beat up too many times because it was a little bit more slurrier now than he was even in Balboa. I mean, I'm in the middle of watching Balboa, and I haven't finished it, but he speaks a lot more clearly in that movie.
Well, I mean, there's a reason for it. I'm not going to spoil that reason in the movie for people that want to
watch it. Well, I know about that reason, but yeah. Other than that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a good explanation. One thing Sylvester Stallone is really good at is writing movies. Like, he can write a movie like no one.
Did he write all the Rocky movies?
Yeah. Yeah, except for Five. I think Five, I think he took a pass on, but
which is probably why it sucks.
But he did a really good job of rebooting Rambo. He did a really excellent job of rebooting Rocky.
I didn't know he actually did a Rambo.
With Rocky Balboa.
He's done six sequels for Rocky and what, like four sequels for Rambo. But if he can't write me a damn sequel for Demolition Man,
I know.
Wasn't the ending of that movie pretty final though?
Which one? Creed?
So they are making a sequel to Independence Day.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but there's always aliens, right?
Right. Speaking of aliens, this is the moment that we've all been waiting for.
Kind of interesting that you said this movie parallels the original, because we're going to talk about another movie that kind of does that.
Yeah, and only, but I think it's a little bit to its detriment, unlike Rocky or unlike Creed.
Mm, that's an interesting thought. If you're in chat, you don't want to be spoiled for Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Please exit now. This is your spoiler alert. Also, your spoiler alert if you're listening on the archives. We're talking about Force Awakens, the new Star Wars movie. I think this is what, episode 7?
7.
Yeah. Episode 7, which continues the Star Wars saga. The movie was directed by J.J. Abrams, who did the Star Trek reboot, which I really like. I really like the reboot of Star Trek. I thought it was
genius. Star Trek maybe, but Into Darkness I could care less about.
I like both of those movies. I like the first one especially.
They're both good action movies, but I don't think they're all that intelligently made or well written.
Yeah. Later, Gripper. I know he hasn't seen the movie yet, so I don't disagree with you leaving chat. But this is your
Super
warning.
8 was the episodes of Lost that he was involved in. I don't know which ones they were, but Lost was kind of just weird sometimes, and yeah. I think the parts where it got weird was the parts that he was involved in.
Let's first talk about trailers.
I think this movie is probably his first good movie, at least in my eyes.
Well, but I disagree with that.
Like I said earlier, alluded to earlier, if you're emulating something that was good, then it's not, and it's pretty hard to fail.
Yeah. Okay. So let's give this, it's due. Let's start in, guys. I want to talk about the trailers that you guys saw.
I don't even want to talk about trailers.
I do.
Okay. What do you want to talk about trailers?
There's a couple of movies, coming out that I think look visually just.
I thought you were talking about trailers related to the movies.
I want to talk about trailers for different movies. One of them was Jungle
Book. Too many of them over the movie. That's all I have to say.
Well, I came in a little late, so I didn't see all the trailers, but there was a really good one that I want to see.
I want to see Jungle Book. Jungle Book.
Actually, looks, you know what? That looks good, too. Yeah. I'm interested.
It looks good. Looks like a CG fest. And that was
I don't care. It looks good. I think it looks really good. And I think it's in capable hands, too. I think Jon Favreau did a wonderful job with Iron Man. And I think that movie's going to be really good. It's visually looks super, super great. So I hope the story is every bit as good as the Disney property, and they do a good job with that.
So yeah, I like that one. I think that one looked interesting. But the movie that I want to see,
does Disney have like the exclusive rights to making Jungle Book anything? Because
yes, they do. Yes, they do.
That's kind of sad because I kind of like someone else to take have crack at it because it's a book. It's a book that received multiple interpretations.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't have.
It feels like they're just trying to remake the cartoon, but now live action CG stuff.
Okay. Breakman, you're excited to see?
I want to see The Secret Lives of Pets.
Yeah, let's
see. I do want to see that one.
As a pet owner, someone who has cats and dogs, I want to see that movie. That fucking movie looks hilarious to me because I can see my fucking dog doing that shit when I'm not home. Like, I just can imagine my cat being able to open the fridge and go into it and shit like that. I'm like, that movie looks fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it does look
I'm not hilarious. Entirely sold on Laika either, but I'm more interested in seeing that than I was Box Trolls. I still haven't seen Box Trolls, and I don't
Box
think
Trolls
I will.
Is pretty good. It's an underrated flick. Dungeon Buster says he got the Batman versus Soup trailer, which I did not
see. I didn't see that one.
I saw that one, but I've seen that one already. So
I have not seen that. I'm going to take a look at that.
I also didn't see that.
I think they're trying to oversell it too hard. That's what I think. And they're revealing too many cool scenes before the movie's out. Like, well, maybe, that's not a good idea.
I mean, that's trailers for you. He says he saw Kung Fu Panda 3 trailer, which I
did see that one. But I've never saw
it. I'm going to see it. I'm probably going to like it, but I'm going to say it's probably going to be the weakest of the three.
Maybe not. Maybe it'll be good, man. I like the Kung Fu movie, Panda movies.
One movie I don't want to see?
Yeah,
let's Angry Birds movie. Fuck that.
Oh, that movie looks terrible. It looks awful.
There's an Angry Birds movie?
Yes, it looks terrible.
There's going to be a new Harry Potter movie, too, but I didn't see a trailer for that one.
There's a new Harry Potter movie?
Yeah, it's called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Yeah.
Was it like a prequel or something?
No, it's just a movie within the Harry Potter universe that has nothing to do with Harry Potter itself.
So it's like some of the upcoming Star Wars movies.
Yeah. Okay. ID4 2, I did not see that trailer. Does it look good? Because I didn't think ID4 1 was great.
I like that movie. It's cheesy as fuck, but I like
will say that I'm a lot more interested in seeing X-Men Apocalypse now than I was like months ago.
Oh, I didn't see that trailer either. I'm going to have to take a look at that trailer.
I have seen the X-Men Apocalypse trailer. That's the movie
I've been waiting for. I like the fact that they're actually doing the first class. It's like a third first class movie.
What were you saying?
And Eric wonders why I interrupt him.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, break.
I was going to say, that's the movie I've been waiting for since I was like 12 years old. Just a fucking X-Men Apocalypse. Like,
Apocalypse is awesome.
I've wanted to see like X-Men versus the Apocalypse forever.
A lot of people don't like Bryan Singer just because he did a really terrible job of X-Men 3.
So what?
But I think we gave him a second chance, and I think he's actually done well.
I think 3 was better than 2, wasn't it?
No, 3 was terrible.
2 wasn't even that good. 2 was like middling.
No, 2 was good, dude.
2's conclusion, or its third act or whatever you call it, it was weak.
No, I like 2.
And that's why I hated 2.
I like 2. I like
it was awesome, and then it suddenly became
Dungeon Buster says the ID4 2 trailer was neat.
I didn't see the ID4 trailer.
I saw for the first time, guys. Check this out. You probably saw it already online. It's been out for a little bit. Was Warcraft. World of
Dungeon
Warcraft.
Busters just play X-Men's Legends Rise of the Evolved.
Yeah, that's
oh,
a great
man.
Game.
God. A good that's game. Harsh, dude.
I love the X-Men Legends games.
Yeah, so do I, man. But yeah, it's Warcraft. You guys didn't see it. If you did, we can discuss it. But
I didn't see the Warcraft one either.
We should get on the Star Wars because it's 8:30.
We're all right, man. We got a little bit of time, dude. Real quickly on the Warcraft trailer, it looks awesome, man. I was really impressed with that trailer. The movie might be shit, but visually it looks
awesome. Is the movie entirely CG?
No, it is not.
It's live action?
I played a lot of WoW, so I'm going to have to go see the movie.
Oh, it looks good, dude. It really does. Like,
surprised they're doing a live action.
I don't know anything about the game because I really never played the game for good reason. But, man, the movie looks really good. I think the Horde. Yeah, the Horde. The Horde looks good, man. The orcs.
No, for the Horde!
Yeah.
Now, if it does well, I wonder if we'll see a StarCraft movie.
Yeah, probably. It looks good. It looks like Lord of the Rings, a little cheesier than that, but, you know, whatever.
It can't be – I don't know. It better be better than the Lord of the Rings because the Hobbit movies were awful.
Yeah. Well,
the first Hobbit movie was okay, but then they had to make it 3 movies, and then the other 2 were just boring.
I didn't see the other movies. I just saw – I mean, I want to keep
I saw the original Harry Potter movie, thought it was boring as fuck, and never saw any of the others.
Yeah,
I was surprised it turned into a massive franchise.
Blame Chris Columbus for making the first 2 Harry Potter films.
Yeah.
Chris Columbus hasn't made a good movie since the 90s.
Since the 90s, wow. All right, let's move on.
Home Alone, so that's
– yeah.
The 90s.
Let's move on.
Otherwise, he did Goonies in the 80s.
Yeah. Eric, let's move on to this. All right, Star Wars, guys. What did you think? Overall, I liked it, but I did have some problems with the film. You guys?
Yeah, I'm still processing it, but for the most part, yeah, I feel the same way. Like, I really enjoyed it. It was a way better movie than the prequels, you know?
Yeah,
like they put a lot more thought into this one, and it didn't middle around, like especially the first 2 prequel movies.
You know who I thought was the star of this show? Rey, for sure. But What's his name? Oscar Isaac? I can't remember his character's name. He's
Poe?
Poe.
I think it's his name.
Poe was awesome in this movie.
I thought Boyega was going to have a better role in this movie, but he was kind of just there.
Yeah.
Maybe in the second movie he'll have a bigger role, but this movie, no.
Basically, the Star Wars movie takes place, what, 30 years after the events of Episode 6, right? I'm guessing that's what goes on. I mean,
yeah, it's about 30 years later.
Yeah, and we get to see appearances by Han Solo and Chewie, R2-D2, C-3PO, and big spoiler alerts here, Princess Leia's in it.
That's not a spoiler. That's in the preview.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher. Who else?
The one character, they've done everything they can to try and say, like, to not mention – yeah, Poe Dameron was his name. Yeah, as the pilot. Yeah, I liked him a lot. What was I talking about? Oh, they deserve.
Wait, Poe Dameron's a new type. That's what Buster's basically saying.
That's pretty funny.
What'd you say, Brink?
I forgot what I was saying again. God damn it.
You were talking about the one character that they avoided, like, the play.
Oh, Luke. They've done everything they can to like, you know, say Luke's a part of this movie, but, like, not show anything about him.
Well, they really didn't show much of him at all.
See, that's the thing is, in the preview, there's, like, a monologue that he says. Luke's in the movie for about 20 seconds and doesn't say a damn thing.
Eric, you just interrupted Break. Go ahead, Sorry. Break.
No, he does that all the time. It's all right.
Go ahead, Break.
I do it all the time.
Yeah,
you do.
I thought you were done. Sorry.
Go ahead, Break.
No, I do it to you too because I think you're done. It's hard to tell sometimes. Yeah. But they've done everything to, like, hide him. Like, literally, he's in the movie for about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any lines. He just stands there.
Yeah.
What I was saying before is this movie apes the original in a lot of ways. Like, it felt like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, this is so much like the original.
Well, there's only so much you can do with the material at hand, right, Break? Like you, what are you going to do? I mean, they needed a new...
I don't think it's that. I think it's just like J.J. Abrams is like, I got to do everything I can to not fail at Star Wars. I can't do something different. Let's make it...
Yeah, he basically created a movie that was a safe space for all the people that were burnt badly by the episodes 1 through 3.
Right. You know what I
which
felt
I don't have a problem with, but I hope it doesn't extend into the other two films, and I hope they do their own thing and form their own identity.
Okay,
because I think that's the biggest problem with this movie.
I agree, Bray, Eric.
I mean, it doesn't have any original ideas.
But here's how I felt about the movie after. Like, during it, I was geeked up, right? Like, I'm not a huge Star Wars buff or anything. I mean, I do like certain movies.
Yeah, this is my department.
Right. And I'm okay with liking, like, certain
ones. Hey, Jar Jar can't hurt you anymore.
Hold on, Eric. I like – no.
I don't hate Jar Jar.
Oh, God. I hate Jar Jar, man. He's awful.
And the original, he was annoying, but there were some spots that were okay, but – they utilized him really well after original. Not necessarily in the movies, but like in the Clone Wars TV show, they used him really well.
Right. I feel kind of the same way you guys did. I got the impression that this was not going to be the greatest of the next trilogy, right? I'm getting the impression that this is the springboard for a bunch of awesomeness to come. Like we've just touched the tip of the iceberg, just much in the way that Star Wars Episode 5, I believe is what it was, did for the Star Wars universe, right? Like, it was kind of a great launching. I mean, nobody in their right mind is going to tell me that the original Star Wars is the best of that first trilogy. I mean, if they say that, I don't see how you can possibly think that.
This movie is basically a New Hope, but with way better scripting.
Yeah.
And a good use of CG and practical effects.
Yeah, there
were sometimes like the monsters aboard that freighter ship, like, they looked too CG for me.
Oh, I like that though. I like those monsters. They, you know what they remind me of?
I like the monsters, but they looked really
that
CG.
Monster looked like a beholder.
It did look like a beholder. I was thinking that the whole time. I was like, holy shit, it's a real life beholder on the Star Wars ship. It's awesome, on the Millennium Falcon or whatever. But I did get the feeling that it was a little safe. But I don't blame Abrams for doing it that way. There's plenty to come. The one huge problem that I had with this movie is I thought Kylo Ren was not scary.
Well, it's entirely
possible. Yeah, he was
weak. It's entirely possible that he'll develop in the second film and the third film.
What was that break?
I am 100% with you on that. Kylo Ren was my biggest weak was with this movie.
Yep. I'm like
I'm hoping he's going to come back as more of a badass, more intimidating in the movie. But he was not really intimidating at all.
Yeah, like, he's just got a lot of the Anakin brattiness in him.
Yeah, he was when he took his helmet off, I could have swore it was Hayden Christensen again.
Yeah.
Even had the poofy hair.
Yeah, I just think that they shouldn't have taken off his mask.
If you watch like the A New Hope, when fucking Vader walks on that ship, he's intimidating.
Yeah,
and then fucking he talks, and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah,
like this guy's the boss. Like I don't want to fuck with this guy.
You didn't get that impression with Kylo Ren. He's not kind of at all.
Not even slightly.
Yeah, I thought he was the weakest.
Well, I got the impression in the movie that he only recently becomes the dark side.
No, I think he did turn a long time ago. If you remember, Han was talking with Leia, and he was kind of like, you know,
maybe not so long ago that it's like 10 years. Maybe it was more like 4 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it depends on when he turned, how old he was and such, because, like, he's obviously an adult now, young adult.
Here's another problem.
But then again, it's kind of hard to tell in Star Wars lore because, like, you know, like Luke was supposed to be really young through most of the movies. And obviously, like, Mark Hamill was aging. So,
yeah. You know. The problem also with Kylo Ren is he's actually pretty weak in general. Like, he fought Rey, and Rey pretty much kicked his ass. Like,
that's why he's training, though.
Yeah, but he had a lot more training than Rey. Like, Rey didn't even know she's...
Yeah, that's the problem with Rey. She basically became Amuro, and she just knew what to do.
Right, and that's... I didn't have a problem with the way things got handled there, other than the fact that Kylo Ren really got his ass kicked. Like, he should have been such a badass. Like, he should have been whipping her. And then all of a sudden at the end when he's about ready to kill her, then that you know, chasm happened and then...
Okay,
you know,
I have a real beef with one scene in the movie.
Yeah, go ahead.
When Rey is in incarceration, she's locked on those chains and stuff. Where the hell did she get the idea that she could use the Force to tell people to do stuff?
Right. Where did she get
that?
Did
she hear the story about where Luke had been with Ben and Ben had done that?
Well, she definitely had.
I don't know, like, how did she get the idea in her head? And then
I think she was just trying to
make it would work.
I think she was just doing it for the shit of it, and it eventually worked. And she's like, oh, I didn't expect that to happen.
Yeah.
The way she kept doing it, she knew it was going to work. Like, she was not being told by anybody. Like, but the fact that she came up with the idea in the first place, like, how did she even think to do that?
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense to me.
Dungeon Buster does bring up a good point. He says Ren was shot by Chewbacca's bowcaster, and that's why, you know, she had maybe an advantage. But still,
if you've watched him during the fight, he kept, like, hitting that wound.
Yeah.
He was trying to, like, to kind of stop the bleeding. Like, he was...
Or, you know, counteract the pain with a different kind of pain.
Yeah. He wasn't intimidating is my problem.
I agree with that. And I also
had temper tantrums.
You know,
the temper tantrums were okay. That made sense with his character. But.
Right. You know what's funny is, like, they showed Kylo Ren at the beginning, like, when what's his name? Was it Finn that tried to shoot? No, somebody tried to shoot him
Poe tried to shoot him.
Yeah,
I'm also surprised that Finn held up rather well against somebody like him for a while.
that's a question too. Does Finn have the Force within him?
Yeah.
Which might make sense because it might be the reason he got knocked out of the mental programming that he was put into.
That could make sense. That actually would make
sense. And the fact that Maz is like, you know, you have a weapon.
Yeah.
And she can – she's not one with the Force, but she kind of – but she said
not
she
– Not that like, you really need to be a Force user to use a lightsaber. I mean, it is.
That's true, too, because what's his name? General Grievous wasn't a Force user, but he could use lightsabers.
Right.
But the way Maz is like, you've got a weapon, and her connection with the Force, not being able to wield it, but knowing it's there and I guess being able to see it or whatever.
There's just different levels of Force.
Kind of think that she knew it's in him.
Yeah. What? No, I agree, Breakman, 100%. I also think that Kylo Ren should have used the Force against Rey when they were fighting. He didn't attempt at all. Like,
he just wanted to fight with the...
They showed him at the beginning, like stopping...
Well, I suppose his weapon isn't
super. Hold on, Eric, hold on. They showed him at the beginning, like stopping a fucking, you know, a shot from a gun. Like, you just see that fucking laser in midair, which is I've never seen in a Star Wars movie. Like, somebody used the Force. Like, that shows his power, right? That was cool. Later on in the movie, he's fighting Rey, and he's getting his ass kicked, and doesn't use the Force at all. Like, nothing. I'm like, what?
Well, she was... using her Force against his too.
Right, I agree, but he should.
Even though she didn't know how to use it, apparently she's strong with it. And I mean, it was hinted that maybe she's a Skywalker, but
you know
it
what?
Was just hinted.
Yeah,
at.
Luke's illegitimate child.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think she'd be illegitimate. Like there are a lot of questions surrounding
her. I don't
know.
Maybe
Luke
has a secret wife somewhere. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, in the books, it was Mara Jade, which, you know, I was hoping, you know, like, that we'd see something like that. But anyway.
So let me ask you guys.
And they show, like, a little flashback.
Maybe Luke had an old girlfriend back when he was on Tantooine, and she moved to Jakku for whatever
reason.
And they show a flashback of her being held back by somebody holding her hand as she's watching, I assume, like, her parents leaving a ship.
Yeah.
It doesn't explain, like... Who was she left with? Because right. When the movie starts, she's all by herself.
Yep.
And obviously been by herself for a while.
Yeah.
So who left her there, and who was she left with?
That's interesting questions that we'll probably get answers to in the sequel. A question that I had for you guys regarding Han Solo. Any chance that we see him come back, or is he done? That's it for Han Solo.
What if he's like – Darth Maul, and somehow he survived his supposed death.
Yeah. I was thinking that same thing.
And if they can find a way to make that awesome, okay. But I can't see a way to make that awesome.
Come back as a cyborg.
Oh, shit. That'd be
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, like, I think he took a lightsaber, I think, through the heart. I don't think you come back from that.
Are we going
to
see...
That didn't look like the heart to me. It looked like below the heart.
He was going up, so it was like diagonally. So
I'm not familiar.
In the middle of the chest, so it looked a little hard to me.
I'm not familiar with the books or anything, Breakman. You probably are more of an authority.
Not too familiar. Yes, which is another thing. Kylo Ren. They reveal his name later on, and I was just thinking of his name in the books. I thought they would go with what his name was in the books. So I was sitting there thinking he was, you know, Jason.
Yeah.
And he turns out to be – his name's Ben.
Yeah, Ben Solo, right?
Ben after Ben Kenobi.
Yeah, I guess named after Kenobi. I was thought he was going to be Jason Solo. So,
question for you, Brake. A question for you. Darth Maul, does he come back from what happened in – you know how he got cut in half and whatever. Does he come back? Like,
yeah, and well, since the Clone Wars are canon, in fact, he does come back. He gets robotic legs. He as the story ended, he was opposing the Emperor with his brother, and the Emperor cut down his brother and basically made Darth Maul be his bitch, and that was the last we saw of him.
And that's
apparently there's a book. I haven't read any of the new ones, but apparently there's a book that tells his story.
Because that was a great villain. Darth Maul, I thought, was great. They didn't give him
too much. Oh, he was good in the show, too.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says you said the bowcaster's badass, which it was.
Yes.
Is that a new bowcaster?
Dungeon Buster says, I liked Kylo Ren as a villain. He's flawed, but also makes him less standoffish than Vader. And we haven't seen the other Knights of Ren yet. That's another thing I want to know more about. I want to know a lot more about the Knights of Ren.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, there were things I liked about him. Like, I liked the temper tantrums. Like, when he freaked out and he started beating that thing, and the guy was just like, oh, thank God, he's not doing this to me. And
yeah.
Kyle is like, anything else? Yes. And then it's like, oh, fuck. Well, you're dead, dude.
Yeah. Let's see. You know, another thing I did not like, the Supreme Leader, what was his name? Smoke or whatever?
Yeah, Snoke.
Snoke.
Supreme Leader Snoke.
It sounds
Snopes? No.
Yeah, Snopes. I was thinking that same thing, Eric. Dungeon Bunch says, Maul does come back at the end of Clone Wars. The Force and his hate literally sustained him. So, okay.
And then another thing, that weapon, like, they just destroyed Coruscant and, like, moved on like nothing happened?
Oh, I know. Wasn't that crazy?
Like, I was just sitting there like, did that just happen?
Yeah.
They destroyed Coruscant. What about
not to mention it's other planets they blew up? Steal the power of the sun and shoot it out of a planet somewhere.
Well, you got to give that a pass, man. That's actually
– it's almost like the red matter bullshit in the first Star Trek film.
Yeah. The humor in the movie was great too, Dungeon Buster says. The two stormtroopers walking away when he went off. That was awesome. I did like
that. Yeah, one stopped the other like that, dude. Nah.
And then BB-8 was great. That's an apt replacement for C-3PO.
I think the head nods to the scenes in the Freeze movie, like, oh, there is a garbage chute, wink, wink.
Yeah.
That was kind of dumb.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed it.
You'll laugh at like that, and then you'll realize how stupid that was.
Overall, I'm going to give the movie an 8 out of 10. I think it's
I'll give it the same.
I think it's a great springboard for the next two movies. I did think it was a little too safe, like everybody. I think we're all in agreement there. They kind of went with the old story from Star Wars.
It really, if you watch it, the way the movie plays out, like everything, like,
it's like, a new hope,
like Han dying was really reminiscing to Obi-Wan dying.
Yeah.
Like the droids crashing on the planet.
And well, not crashing, but he abandoned on the planet. A spirit from the Force. He becomes one of the Force.
Wow, that'd be crazy. That'd be messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I guess the Force does work that way.
Dungeon Buster says, I only have to guess that the planet weapon could transport itself to new suns.
Well, I think the implication is that even though it's a bigger Death Star, it is transportable. Like, I think that's how I took it. Like, they could move that planet. I don't know.
Well, the only don't know. I think they would have to make a new thing because this wasn't like the Death Star, which was a space station. This was a planet with the space station built into it.
Yeah. BB was great, Dungeon Buster said. He was awesome. He was a good replacement for R2-D2, which we do see R2-D2 in the movie, which is awesome. I think there's a lot of goodness to come. I did like the fact
I think my favorite part of the movie was the main two characters, Rey and Finn. I think they were great.
Yeah.
I liked them a lot.
I liked Han Solo quite a bit.
I of course love the old characters like Han and Chewie, but like the new characters I think were very interesting. Yeah. Like I'm interested in their story.
I am.
I want to watch Rey become a Jedi.
Yep. For sure, and that's going to happen in the next one. Obviously, and I think Luke is the new Yoda, and I'm wondering if we're going to see Yoda anytime soon.
And if Finn doesn't become the next another Force user, he at least will probably be the new Han.
Hey, I think Rey's the new Han in a way because she kind of took over.
He'll be the part of Han that bullshits his way through things.
Break. What happens to Yoda? Ultimately,
he's one with the Force now.
So he's just like an ethereal character now. He's not.
Yeah, basically, like Obi-Wan, it was in this Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. So he's just like. Did they show that in any of the Star Wars?
In Return of the Jedi, yeah. Oh, he's one with the Force, and then Anakin Skywalker also becomes one.
It'd be weird if Spirit Anakin decides to bitch slap some sense into Kylo at some point. It's like, I didn't want this.
The only other character we know that's one with the Force is Qui-Gon Jinn.
Qui-Gon Jinn.
So those four characters are one with the Force.
Isn't Samuel Jackson's character also one with the Force?
No.
Okay, I thought he was. I thought
Qui-Gon Jinn was the one who figured out how to become one with the Force, and he taught Yoda, and Yoda taught Obi-Wan, who spent most of his time on Tatooine learning to become one with the Force, as well as watching Luke from afar.
Yeah. So if Luke becomes one with the Force, does he do that in the next movie, or has that already happened?
If they want to copy the Empire Strikes Back like they did before with Star Wars, yeah, I guess.
Well, that means he has to die at some point.
Yeah, of course.
Hmm. Lots of interesting questions on Star Wars for sure. So Eric and I gave it 8. Brake, I know you're the big Star Wars nut.
Yeah, I don't want to rate it until I watch
it. And again, that might not necessarily be true. You still might be able to become one with the Force anyway.
What? You don't want to rate it just yet, or what?
Yeah, I want to watch it again because, like, I've seen all the Star Wars movies like a billion times.
I don't know. My opinion, 3 movies. Was it a post production 3D?
I don't know, but it looked great.
No, because I don't think so. There were some awesome moments, like a Star Destroyer coming at the screen. Looks fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I wasn't really terribly impressed with 3D. I mean, I think it enhanced some of the scenes, but other than that, I don't think – I think maybe if I had saw it in an IMAX theater, it might have looked better, but I don't have one.
I think it made the space scenes really good. Those scenes, I think, popped. But like on the planet,
well, that way because it gives you better perspective.
There was actually a really great scene. Speaking of 3D, I'm the 3D guy here. I really like 3D. But there was a really great scene with Rey at the beginning when she was kind of like searching the ship and stuff that I thought was awesome in 3D.
Oh yeah, when she's like climbing through Star Destroyer. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. And Dungeon Bus says the 3D was really good. I think they used it well. I do too.
I did. I think it's one of the best 3D movies I've ever seen.
Oh, and he says, the Star Destroyer.
I got a fan. Exactly. I got a fan hypothesis.
Oh, what's that?
Rey's actually is Luke's daughter, and Luke and his wife were the ones that were escaping.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's why there's all the Star Destroyers on Jakku, because there was a big battle going on there. Hmm. Yeah. They were probably trying to look for Luke, and that's when he had to hit the...
That's kind of interesting. There was only Imperial stuff downed on that planet, too. Like, I didn't see any Rebel weapons.
Yeah.
Anything like that.
I saw some Crash X-Wings.
What do they call those?
Oh,
like,
I didn't see that.
Do they call those camel-looking things again? I never remember. Those big ass, like, they look like camels.
AT-ATs?
What?
The AT-ATs? AT-AT?
The
AT-ATs.
Yeah. Those are awesome, man.
And then there's the small chicken walkers, the AT-STs.
Yeah. No, I like the big ones.
The big ones are really cool. I had friends that had
one. I will say one thing about the First Order. And they're kind of, it's kind of, they kind of have a Nazi thing going on.
We made that observation after the film.
But without the ethnic cleansing. I mean, they're less ethnic cleansing, more we want a new world order.
Oh, shit. No, they did the ethnic cleansing too, man. They destroyed, 5 planets in one fell swoop? Like, that was a direct correlation to that for sure, man. I like it. So anyways, Brake, you're going to hold judgment and rating.
It gets a positive rating. This gets a 2 thumbs up from me. If you're a Star Wars fan, I think you're really gonna enjoy it. If you like science fiction movies, I definitely think you should see it. I just don't want to give it like a permanent rating right now.
If you're not a Star Wars fan, is this one to get people into Star Wars? Like, can they start here, Brake? Do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty much
a remake of the New Hope. Anyways, might as well start there.
I think like maybe Han's death won't be as impactful to you, but the rest of the movie, I think, yeah. If you like science fiction, if you don't like science fiction, no, they're definitely not the kind of movie you'd enjoy.
I just think the acting was kind of top notch too. I think with a different director, it made a lot of good progress. Like, George Lucas didn't get the best out of his actors, and I thought J.J. Abrams did a good job of getting exactly what he needed to.
Also, the dialogue's less wooden. Movies, the dialogue is kind of wooden.
I thought that the dialogue was kind of fresh and updated for a new audience, which is awesome. Dungeon Buster said, so hard for tyrants to stand out with their propaganda now thanks to the Nazis.
Godwin's law.
Yeah. I think that's going to do it, guys.
There's a ton of questions. I don't know how many. I will say this Star Wars explained a lot more like than the original Star Wars movies. Like they like the kind of like let you learn more about him outside of it, whereas this one kind of explained a lot more things. But as we were talking, there are definitely things that weren't answered, like the Knights of Ren. Like, we'd like to know a lot more about those.
Yeah. I do kind of wish that they threw in a little Easter egg at the end, which they did not.
Well, like a stinger?
Whatever. Yeah, but, you know.
What, after the credits?
Yeah, that's
just glad they didn't. I didn't want to wait.
Yeah, this is in a comic book movie. I don't want that shit in there.
Yeah, I know.
None of the Star Wars movies have done it before. If they did it with this one, I'd be like, God damn it.
No, I it's a minor complaint from me, for sure. But I don't know. I stayed for the credits just because I like the music, and I was just kind of hoping maybe something a little extra, but you know, I'm not, that's just a minor complaint for sure. All right, guys. Hey, Breakman, let's start with you on plugs, man.
You can follow at @break_man. Since I'm back on Twitter, I've been avoiding it for like a week and a half.
Me too.
Or since last show, because I'm like, I don't want no spoilers.
Yeah.
No, I haven't even opened it. So @break_man, @Mrs_break_man, @RPGrinders, @MoriaMug, @Stealthin_whatever.
All right. Is that it?
And our chatters. Thanks, guys, for being here. And J.J. Abrams, you didn't let the fans down. We're happy with what you did. It's thumbs up, man.
Yeah, I do.
And I give him a thumbs up for actually making a decent movie for once.
not a lot of lens flare, which was awesome.
And Dungeon Master says the music was great, too. Yeah, it did have great music.
Yeah. Yep. Eric, your plugs.
I'm going to plug GameTactics.com, TotallyGN.com, and BostonBashBrigade.com. You can find my reviews over there, and there's my YouTube channel, Funny ET Man, and there is my blog, The Apostate Gamer, apostategamer.wordpress.com, and not The Apostate Gamer, just Apostate Gamer. Mm-hmm. And you can find me on Twitter @EricRPG.
Yeah. All right. Is that it, Eric?
Next week, if you like JRPGs, you should probably pick up Trails of Cold Steel.
Yeah, there you go. I want to plug Wherewithal, the show that I do with Whippix. Last show was, I think, pretty amazing. I'm pretty critical of my podcast work, but I really liked the last show, Wherewithal with Whippix. It was super fun. I highly recommend that you guys check it out. Let me know if we're doing a good job on Twitter, @ShareTheWare. Is that Twitter? Please check it out. Let me know what you think. It's awesome. Special thanks to Dungeon Buster, Gripper, Freak5 Chaos, and MXT for joining us in chat today. You guys are always awesome. Always a fun time to talk with you guys. You know, I really enjoy you guys in chat. Star Wars, Force Awakens, go check it out if you haven't already. We all give it at least thumbs up. I give it an 8 out of 10. Eric gives it an 8 out of 10. Breakman will give us a score. When
he's, I mean, 8's a great score. I wouldn't give it, I don't think, anything less than an 8 because it's a great movie.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. So, take care, everybody. Stay safe. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out.